And away we go, Monday, December the 30th, 2019. Aren't going to be saying that much longer. 2 days left this year. 2 days left in the decade of the tens. Do we call it the tens? I guess we call it the tens. And 2 days left in 2019, and then we'll be heading into the big 2020. 14 minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio. Scott Spears along with you for the ride, and today we're going to have a lot of fun. Because we've got a bunch of New Year's Eve and New Year's Day trivia, and we've got a big announcement coming up at the end of the program today, so stick with us. And we've got a lot to talk about today. I've got a whole list of things that I want to talk about that happened over the weekend. So hopefully we'll be able to catch up on all this as the morning goes along. But there's something I wanted to do before we start the morning here because of what happened last night. As many of you know, and there were a lot of people, I believe, without power right now in Marion because of the high winds that came in sometime after 4 a.m. last night and caused a lot of damage in the Marion area. Matter of fact, right in front of the building from which we do this radio show, there is a street lamp down, one of the big street lights, and of course the crews in Marion are working on it. And as I drove in this morning, I could see furniture and pieces of siding all across people's yards, and of course trash that had been set out. It really was quite a storm. I drove through Meyer's parking lot this morning, and there were carts out in front of the store which had to have blown from the parking lot, which is quite a distance. So if you were up at 5 o'clock this morning, you heard that wind whipping. It was loud and it was strong. Now this caused a lot of damage, as I have said. So what we want to do this morning is check in with a good friend of mine for many, many years who deals with some things like this. Good friend David from Alpha Roofing and Exterior Renovations. Going to spend about 10 minutes with him this morning. David, how you doing this morning?
Good. How are you, Scott?
Doing well. Did you catch that storm last night? My goodness.
I did. And matter of fact, some things in my backyard have been blown around that I wouldn't expect to be, you know, laying on their side this morning.
Did you hear anything about this storm coming? I hadn't heard that that was supposed to happen.
No, I didn't. I didn't know. I was kind of confused. I thought that maybe somebody was in our backyard or something.
You know, it was weird because I don't get up at 5 o'clock, but I get up not too long after that, and I was laying in bed, and I kept hearing this wind, and really it sounded kind of tornado-like last night. Thank God it wasn't, but boy, those were some strong winds.
Yeah, we get quite a bit of the high winds here in central Ohio.
Yeah, we definitely do. Now, David, the reason I wanted to have you on is because your business, which is a business that you own, you deal directly with things like this when events like this happen. Is that not true?
No, that's correct.
Yeah. So, David, tell us a little bit how you got started. Give us a little backstory about how this all came together for you.
Well, basically, when I moved to Columbus back in 2005, I was looking for a new career to get into, and I started working with a friend of mine who had a business that's similar to this, and I just like to help people kind of get what they deserve. And basically all we do is we inform people and educate people on, you know, what their allowance is with their insurance company, because a lot of people don't know that, you know, their insurance will cover a new roof because of storm-related activity that happens in the area. And it really doesn't take as much as what people think it does to get stuff like this covered through their insurance company. So basically, I do a lot of, you know, door knocking to inform people of things like this, and then I help them through the process.
Well, that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, because we had talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I think information is a very important thing, and that's what we try to do here at this station, inform and educate. And a lot of people will have damage from the storm last night and throughout the winter and throughout the summer, for that matter of fact. So when something like this happens, what are the common things that people do not know?
the common things that people do not know is simply that, you know, the damage can sometimes be unseen from the ground. And if you can see it from the ground, then the damage is, you know, at a far greater extent on the roof. It doesn't take much for, you know, entire roofs or entire houses of siding to be replaced because of Ohio's codes. We have what's called matching codes here in Ohio. So if there's a damaged portion of your house, they have to match that to the rest of the house. Otherwise, they have to replace the entire area. And another thing is a lot of people think that, you know, their insurance rates are going to go up because they file a claim. Well, it's considered an act of God. So in the demographic area, insurance rates go up every single year based on the storm activity in that area. So whether you're filing a claim or not, you're going to be having your rates go up because of the activity in the area. And it's no different than filing a claim on your car. If you wreck your car, you're going to file a claim. And your house is a bigger investment than what your car is, and it actually gains value and doesn't depreciate in value over the years. So why would you feel any different about it?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I'm glad you said that, because I talked to a friend, I think it was yesterday, who said that they got an oil change for Christmas, and that's a great thing for them because they have no idea how to change their oil, and so many of us don't with all the new cars that are out there. So why would we treat our house any different? We need to keep these upkeeps done.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to knowing if something's wrong, because to be honest, if there was not a gaping hole in my roof, I probably wouldn't know anything was wrong unless water was dripping in. What should somebody do if they suspect something is wrong?
Well, I mean, even if you don't suspect something is wrong and your roof is just getting older, what I do actually doesn't really cost any money to the homeowner. So I just go out and I inspect the roof at no cost to the homeowner. And if there's any damage, I would take pictures and I would kind of go over those pictures with the homeowner and see if, you know, let them know how I can help them. And if we can get their roof replaced to their insurance company, we would pursue that. And then I also have roofing crews and we would do, you know, whatever work that the insurance company approved. And that would be, you know, how I got paid. Like, I wouldn't charge a fee for any other thing that I had done up until that point, and we just kind of go from there.
So everything that would need to be done renovation-wise would run through you?
Right. I would handle everything. That way the homeowner, you know, didn't really have a whole lot of, you know, stress involved in it, because our lives can be stressful as it is, you know. Like, who wants to try to coordinate a roofing crew and a siding crew and maybe an interior guy or, you know, It can be stressful, along with trying to work a 9-to-5 and take care of the kids and cook dinner and, you know, make sure everything else is done in life.
What is the big difference, in your opinion, in dealing with one of the big companies that we might know the name of and dealing with an independent company like yourself?
I think it's more personable. I always remember my clients. I have clients call me from, you know, years past, and they're like, you might not remember me. And I'm like, no, I remember you and your house very vividly. You know, I tend to take care of people longer than what a bigger company would. It's more like they would be more of like a machine-like process for them, just to kind of turn it and burn it, as we would say, just get it out of the way.
Now, how long does a process like this take? If a whole roof was going to be replaced, what is the time frame?
Typically, it'll depend on the insurance company, but if it's just a roof, it happens fairly quickly. Most insurance companies will cut a check on the spot, because they'll come out and they're going to inspect the roof themselves, and that day they normally will cut like an actual cash value on the spot, which is typically like enough for a down payment to get the job started. We would get the work completed, and then we would file all necessary paperwork with them after that to get the final payment from them. And that typically can happen pretty quickly, especially if they, you know, make the actual cash value payment up front. Typically, I'm able to schedule the replacement a week after the deposit is collected. So anywhere from, you know, a few weeks to a month, and sometimes longer depending on how much work there is to be done with different trades and how long it wants to take the insurance company to get everything squared away, because sometimes they do mail stuff out and it can drag it out a little longer, but typically it happens fairly quickly.
Now, David, I know a lot of people, of course, obviously listen here in Marion, but they listen in Columbus, they listen in Upper Sandusky, they listen all over the place. Is there a certain area that you do not go out of?
Not really. I grew up in Marion. I know the area fairly well. I would travel to Upper Sandusky if I, you know, if somebody needed me out there. I've done a lot of traveling over the years. I've gone as far as to, you know, southeast Indiana, and I've worked hailstorms out there. So it doesn't really, the distance doesn't really matter too much to me.
David, if somebody has questions in something that we did not cover in this brief 15 minutes on the air this morning, how would they get in touch with you to get some more information on what to do in a situation like this?
Well, they could give me a call. My, you know, my personal number is 614-615-7319. They can also go to my website, and we have like a contact information there where it's alpharoofingohio.com. And then there's also my email, which is dgalbreth@alpharoofingohio.com.
Perfect. Is there anything we're leaving out here this morning, David?
I don't think so.
Well, David, I can't thank you enough for getting up early with us this morning after a night like we had last night. And my best to you, and I'm sure we'll be checking back in with you again. We were talking with David from Alpha Roofing and Exterior Renovations. You can talk with him about all questions you might have. Thanks, David. Have a great day and a new Happy New Year.
You too, Scott.
Take care. Bye-bye. There we go. And by the way, just for the record, that was an unpaid, that was just for information. That was not a, what do you call it? That was not an advertisement. Because to be honest with you, I think sometimes we just need information. And after that windstorm last night, I knew I could call on David to give us some information. He's been a friend for a long time, and I do worry about that. Because honestly, when that storm was going on last night and it sounded like it was going to rip the roof off the top of the house, I thought, who would I call? I mean, I would call David, because I don't know anything about that, if there was any damage to the roof. And then after I drove through the parking lot this morning at Meijer and saw all the carts piled up out there in the lawn area in front of Meijer, and all the, when I pulled up here at the building this morning and saw that a street lamp, which had probably been there for 50, 60 years, had blown down, and the city crews of Marion were down here fixing it. I thought, we need to get some answers, and David was the guy to do that. So I thank him for coming on this morning and answering our questions. So there you go. You know, it's an interesting thing this morning. I've got a lot to talk about, but I really don't know, to be honest with you, if who has power and who doesn't this morning. Because here's an interesting thing. I want to get into this. You know, obviously I have electricity. I don't live in the pioneer days. But you get these messages now. You get these alerts whenever there is a power issue. And honestly, I thought the power might blow out this morning, because it was very windy. It was very strong, and I thought, well, a power line might go down. Although I think my power lines are underground, to be honest with you. I don't think we have above the ground power lines anymore, but a transformer might break or something of that nature. In any event, this morning at about 5:30, I get an email, because that's how we do things now. The electric company will email you if there's something going on, which is kind of an irony to me, and I'll tell you why in a second. But the power company sent me an email at around 5:30 this morning saying that we're sorry about your power interruption. And this was odd to me, because I was not having a power interruption. The power was still on. It hadn't even blinked. The clocks were all still working perfectly. No problem. So I didn't hear anything more from them until right after we started the show this morning, about 10 after 8. And they emailed me to let me know that this morning, since 5:30, they had been conducting an investigation and that my home was not in the area that had the power outage. Now, this, I guess what would that have been? A little over 2-hour investigation could have been solved if they had called me, or I would have called them. But see, I wouldn't know where to reach them, because I could have said, the power is still on. Now, why is this a great irony? Why are you telling me this story, Scott? That's what you're saying to yourself. Why are you telling me this story? Well, I will tell you the reason that I am telling you this story is because, interestingly enough, it is strange to me that the power company sends you emails. Okay, I understand smartphones. Let me preface this by saying this. I understand you could get these messages through a smartphone. I get that. But it's ironic to me that a lot of people still use computers, and a lot of people still use tablets, and a lot of people still use different mobile devices. And if your power was out, how would you even get these messages aside from a smartphone, I guess? And what could you do? Okay, I think you would know that your power is out. They don't have to send you an email, because they never tell you why your power is out. They don't tell you until they get it back on. And by that point, to be honest with you, I really don't care why it was out. I'm just glad it's back on. So I don't really understand that. Does anybody understand that? Is that just odd to me? Maybe it's just odd to me. Give me a call. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I would love to get some people's understanding of this whole process, because I really don't understand that. Okay, you're telling me my power is out. Well, if my power is out, I probably already know it. And I'm glad you know it. I'm glad the electric company knows it. But I certainly know it. And I don't know that there's anything that I could do at that particular point. So that's always a very strange thing to me. But maybe that's just me. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I'm out driving this morning, and I tried to go down Barks Road, and they've got a sign up there, road closed.
Wow. They've
got two trucks on 423 that you can't go any farther south on Marion Cardington Road. And on 529, they've got road closed heading south of Marion Cardington Road. So
we got Barks Road, 529, and...
Yeah, and 423, all south of Marion Cardington. Must be trees down there, I think I can figure. I'm heading down Summerlot Hoffman now to see if I can get a client. So far, so good. I haven't seen any road closing yet, but...
Well, you know, it's interesting because last night we all heard the storm, which came in about 5 o'clock this morning, and it sounded awful. But when I got up this morning, my lawn furniture hadn't even been blown, so I thought, well, maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought. Well, when I got to the building here and saw that a street lamp, which had probably been there for more than a half century, was down.
Oh yeah.
I thought, boy, this must have been... Have you heard what the winds were last night? I haven't heard yet.
No. I just passed 529 on, Richland Road on Summerlot Hoffman, and it's closed between Summerlot Hoffman and Mary Cardington Road. They've got road closed signs up at both ends. So.
Wow. Well, hey, thanks for the update. Call us if you hear anything more.
All right.
Hey, thank
Will
you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Right. You know, it was some storm. I cannot imagine that a traffic lamp went down. So there's some road closures for you if you don't already know. Barks Road, 529, 423, south of Marion Cardington Road, all from this storm last night. And is anybody out of power? I know you can have phone service now if you're out of power. So if you're sitting in the dark and listening to us maybe on your mobile device or a radio that has batteries. Does anybody still keep a radio with batteries? Boy, I hope you do. For situations like this, now that the sun's coming up, it's not so much about light, but I hope you have a radio with batteries so you can listen to a show like this. See, this is where free radio really comes in to play, free local radio. So Barks Road has some issues right now in the closure area, 529 and 423 south of Marion Cardington Road, and there is some damage around town. Has anybody heard anything about power outage? I guess there's a power outage out somewhere in my neck of the woods, out beyond Meyer, because I did get the power outage notice. Now, I wasn't without power, but I assume there is some power outage, or are some power outages, I guess would be better to say, out in that area. So if you know anything about power outage, or if you've seen any damage, you know, I thought about Charlie Evers this morning, because for many, many years, he was talking about this tree over by the Marion Public Library that was not doing so well, should we say. And the worry that Charlie always had with this tree was that it was close to a power line over there, and that if it ever came down, that it would come down on the above ground power line. Did that tree survive last night? Because these were the strongest winds, I believe, that Marion has seen for a while. Also, has anybody heard how fast the winds were? I have not had a chance to look that up, but I know these were some strong winds last night. Has anybody heard the clock temperature on these winds that blew through last night? Wasn't bad when I got here, but boys, around 5 o'clock this morning. Or is there anybody who was out at 5 o'clock this morning? What was it like out there? It certainly had to be a mess. Give us a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Again, Barks Road, 529 and 423 south of Marion Cardington Road right now are the issue places that we know of here in Marion. We're going to do some New Year's trivia, and again, break in at any point during my monologue this morning. 740-383-9944. The power outage thing, I don't understand that. I'm glad that the company does that. You know, that's very nice that they send you an email, but I just don't know how it helps to tell you that your power is out. Of course, this morning they were telling me that my power was out even though my power was not out. So maybe overcautious. See, that makes me nervous, though, because if they send me an email telling me my power's out and my power was not out, see, now I'm thinking to myself, do they really know? Do they know if your power's out? You would think in this sophisticated world that we live in that people now would know if the power is out or not. We're getting a call here. Let's take the call. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, I heard that Chateau, there's trees down. I don't know if you can get out that way.
Wow, and out in the Chateau area?
Yeah. I was told that traffic couldn't get through, and I don't know what areas out around Chateau. And Big Island, some of those are without electric. And then as you go towards Bucyrus, about 3 miles or four, my friend, she doesn't have electric.
So was the storm a little worse to the north of us?
I don't know, because I didn't hear it.
Oh,
I
it was. Oh my goodness, it was. It was quiet. I don't know if I woke up, or if I woke up because of the wind. But my goodness, I had not heard wind like that in a while.
Well, I didn't hear it.
So there's some power issues over in the Bucyrus area, and
Big Island, and then I. The same person, Big Island, said that Chateau, she heard that traffic, you couldn't get through some of the roads, trees were down or something. So
I wonder how that tree is doing, Charlie's tree over by the Marion Public Library.
I don't know.
Well, hey, I thank you for the, have you heard what the winds were last night? I haven't heard yet.
No, I'm trying to listen to you because I can't get any weather but your station.
Yeah, we're going to look into that. Our Zach, our weatherman, maybe he'll let me know here momentarily what the winds clocked in. He's good at that stuff.
Yeah, I tried to listen to WMRN, but I wasn't getting anything. So I just switched to you and stayed with you. So.
Well, I'm glad you're here with us, and we'll keep you updated.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I tell you, it was a mess, and apparently it's caused a mess all over the place. Now we're talking about trees down in Chateau. power outages in Big Island and the Bucyrus area. Maybe the storm was a little worse to the north of us. 529's got some issues about going down the road this morning. 423, south of Marion Cardington Road. What else do we have here? We have Barks Road having some issues. It's a mess out there, folks, and we don't know how many people are without messages or without power. See, I'm getting a message, and I say, see, this is live radio, because I'm looking at a message, and I said message, even though I was not talking about a message, obviously. This person is explaining to me why the power company sends you an email when your power is out. So once I get the full message here, maybe I'll update you on that. But any more information here this morning? All right. Keep it coming. We want to know things like this. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, that they've got a truck at each end, one at Summerlin Hoffman, and one at Marion Cardington. So that area, you can't get through. I got through okay on Summerlin Hoffman coming across, and now I'm going down Smelter, and that's all open. So.
And it looks like all the area downtown here is open, and Route 95 is open, so I think we're okay there. But boy, it sounds like some areas got hit, and we just heard that Bucyrus, Big Island, without power, and some issues over in Chateau with getting through the area.
Right, yeah. Now, 529 is open. I went clear to 98 and went down 98 to First Burger and came back in. That was all open. It's just Richland Road between Marion Cardington and Summerlin Hoffman. There's apparently something in there.
So just Richland Road, the small area there on 529
right,
is closed.
Right.
Well, thank you.
Same on 423.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
All right.
So we want to amend that to say that there are only portions of 529 Richland Road that are closed at this particular point, and portions of 423 that are closed at this point because of the storm last night. And again, power outages in Big Island, power outages in Bucyrus, some trees down in Chateau, a street lamp down here on Center Street that just, the power that it would take to blow a street lamp over, I would think that would be very, very powerful, especially with all the buildings down here in downtown Marion. You know what I was shocked about? Usually when you have a lot of buildings, like we do down here in downtown Marion, the wind cannot go as fast and as strong as you might normally think it would. So for a street lamp to go down like that is kind of amazing. All right, here I'm getting a little update here on why we're going to get the answer. Why does the power company send you emails like they did last night? Okay, here we go. The email you get is because people call and tell them a million times, so they have to send notification for the people who keep calling in. Now, that may be right. And actually, this person was using an adjective in there I took out. But that could be. And maybe that is the reason they do it. But what I don't understand is, would it stop them? I really don't know that would stop somebody who was determined to call in. Because here's what I think happens. Your power goes out. I don't think your first reaction is to check your email. I think your first reaction is to call the power company. So I think they're still going to get the calls. So I don't understand that whole email thing. And like this morning when they sent me an email, my power was still on. It had never even blinked. So, I don't know. I mean, it's a nice service. I appreciate them for doing it. But it's kind of an interesting service, I think. It's a free service, as far as I know. I don't think they're charging anybody for that. Does anybody have any ideas, besides the fact that a lot of people call in, on why the power company does that? 740-383-9944. And again, is anybody in Marion without power? I have to believe that there are people without power here this morning, or I would not have got that message this morning. Does anybody know about power outages in Marion, or are you without power right now, listening to a mobile device or radio? with batteries in it. 740-383-9944. Let me know any updates you might have. Isn't it funny? Do you remember back before the internet age? The big thing used to be you've got to have a flashlight and you've got to have a radio with batteries in case of a storm like this. You've got to have that flashlight and you've got to have that radio with batteries. Well, apparently that's not a thing anymore. That's went by the wayside just like school delays and cancellations on the radio, I guess. But we're still here this morning. Does anybody know how fast the winds got last night? They had to, boy, they had to have been pretty fast. I'm not usually that cognizant of what's going on wind-wise, but boy, oh boy. That was some wind. Again, break in anytime this morning. 43 coming up on 44 minutes past the hour here, WWGH radio time. And let me know anything you're hearing about the weather that we had just a couple hours ago, not really overnight, I guess you would say early this morning. I'm sure a lot of people were on the road this morning when this was all going on around the 5 o'clock hour. I got up when I heard it and looked out the window. I saw people still driving around. It was coming down with rain at that point. There still was a little bit of drizzle when I was coming in here this morning, but not a huge amount. Give me a ring here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay, I think we've talked enough about why does the power company send out these messages. Okay, and we've talked about the wind. And again, any more updates, give me a ring. 740-383-9944. So I think we've talked about that. Now, what else did I want to talk about? Okay, we've talked about the lamppost, but what a great job by the city of Marion. They were already here this morning putting up or fixing this lamppost in front of the building. Wow. They had to have been informed rather early and got right down here so nobody would be injured by that. That is a tremendous job. I commend the city crews here in Marion for being on the spot this morning with an issue like that, also this close here to the holiday. Oh boy, do I have a story to tell you. And again, anything weather related, anything road closure, call in, because we definitely do want to talk about that. 740-383-9944. Or if anybody hears how fast the winds were, I still would like to know that. So call me with that answer if you happen to hear on television or anywhere else. Okay, now last night, here we go. Last night, I went to the grocery store, and I decided I was going to have pork chops, because I had not had pork chops in a long time, and we're getting close to the first of the year, and one of the things that you are supposed to do with the start of any new year is have pork chops and sauerkraut. Now, I'm not a huge fan of sauerkraut, so I just got the pork chops. They were on sale, so I picked them up. Now, many of you know, last week for Christmas, one of the gifts I got was an air fryer. So, I decided last night is going to be the night that I am going to break out this air fryer, and I am going to have these pork chops. So, I get out the air fryer last night. I hadn't even taken it out of the box yet. I take it out of the box. I pull out the instruction booklet, and there is a little pamphlet in there on how long you should cook certain things, and what you should do, and how you should clean it, and even a little bit of a cookbook in there. So there were items in there that were a lot of help with the air fryer. So I get the air fryer out of the box. It's a bigger item for those of you who do not have one than I expected it to be. I didn't expect the air fryer to be that big of an item. So I get the air fryer out, and then I run some water over the inside area so that it's nice and clean and ready to go. And the pork chops I had bought were kind of thick, to be honest with you. So I really wasn't sure, because the last thing you want to do is eat an under-eaten pork chop. And I'll talk about that in a second. So I'm using the air fryer, and I look in the book, and I think it said, I don't want to misquote the air fryer book, but it said something like 370 degrees for something like 15 minutes for a pork chop. So I put two pork chops in, and I 370 degrees, and I turn it on for 15 minutes, put the timer on, and I think I'm in good shape. So I make a little salad to have with the pork chops, And I think this will be great because I can hear the thing running, and this is supposed to be a masterful device. And we get to the end of the 15 minutes, and I pull the pork chops out, and I put them on a styrofoam plate before I put them on the plate with the salad because I wanted to make sure they were done. So I kind of cut into them, and I noticed some of the juices ran out of the pork chop. And I thought, uh-oh, this is trouble. The pork chop might not be done. So I put it back in the air fryer for another 5 minutes. Again, they were thick pork chops, which could have affected what was going on there. So I put them back in the air fryer, and I fry them for another 5 minutes, and I take them out, and then I cut them again on the styrofoam plate. And it did not seem this time like any juice ran out. So then I put them on the plate. And by the way, I did something last night that I swore I would never do, but so many people wanted to know how the air fryer was going to turn out. I even got emails on this air fryer. I got people sending me recipes. I got people sending me cookbooks. I had one person emailing me telling me I was an idiot. Why don't I just open the box and see that there is a cookbook in there? Which I probably am. So I wanted to show people what this final product looked like, because I even had people asking me on Facebook what the final product would look like because they were thinking about buying an air fryer. Okay, so I take a picture of these pork chops and I put them up on Facebook, and apparently this is a very popular picture. It got more likes and comments last night than anything I'd put up in quite a while. So I put the pork chops up there, and most people seem to think that they looked good. And I do have to admit, they did taste good. But I was paranoid the entire time, are they done? Because how do you really know if a pork chop's done? Because it didn't look like anything was running out of it. And it wasn't pink. So I thought, well, is it done? Is it not? And then I was trying to remember, you really can't eat pork when it's not done. It's not like a steak. Now, a steak, it can be pink in the middle. A lot of people have their steak that way. That's no big issue. But then I was trying to think, okay, if I did ingest some pork that was not fully cooked, is there a disease I can get with that? Because I don't think it's salmonella with pork. I think salmonella has to do with things like raw cookie dough, things with, isn't it egg? Egg products in it that aren't fully cooked. Isn't that how you get salmonella? See, you're catching this all. I don't rehearse this. So you're catching this all out of my mind, which could really show you my inadequacies when it comes to knowing exactly how you get salmonella. But what happens if you would eat undercooked pork? That's a good question. Go ahead, caller.
I don't know about everything about pork, but I know one thing that you can get off of it if it's underdone is trichinosis. And that's a big old fancy word for worms. And that's not to say that every cut of pork has the potential to give you that, because the hog itself would have had to have had worms. But have you ever heard of a meat thermometer? And I'm not trying to be smart. I'm just saying that would take the guesswork out of it. But if and you ain't got one of them, just cut right down in the middle of that meat. This is what I do, because I don't have a meat thermometer. And just stick your finger on there. If it stings your finger and you got to pull your finger back, done.
No, wait. So if I put my finger in it, what's the
I
test?
I think that I'll go to the middle and just slice down the middle of whatever it is. And, anything, really. I probably wouldn't check, like, a turkey or a meatloaf like this. But in a pork chop, per se, you can cut it in half. I just cut, common sense, you just cut your finger on there, Scott, and if it kind of stings a little bit, well, it's probably done. But if you put your finger on there and it's not real hot or whatever to the touch, probably ain't done.
Well, see, here was what the pork chop, this is where it puzzled me, because with hamburger, you know, with steak, you know, and here's why a pork chop to me is different. Now, a pork chop starts out pink. Now, when I cut into the middle of this thing, which I did before I ate it, I could no longer see any pink. So
it's probably good.
Right. But, you know, there are stages to a pork chop. And that's the funny thing, because there is this area where it's a little more, it's white, but it's a little more moist. Like if you cut it, juices will run out. But then there's the area where you really cook it and nothing runs out. And it's more like chicken tasting.
I must be the only person in the world that does not want an air fryer. I said, here's the best way for pork chops. Get you a skillet, put a big old dollop of bacon grease. Yes, I said bacon grease, and this is not heart healthy, but it's definitely palatable friendly. You put you a big old glob of bacon grease in there, get it good and hot, and then you just use the holy trinity of seasoning, salt, pepper, and garlic, and, you know, flip on both sides.
Now,
that's where it's at. That'll get you where you need to go, Scott.
Well, now, here's what I'm worried about now, though, when you tell
me. You're probably worried about, I know you're kind of on the health-conscious side, so you're probably thinking.
Well, I'm worried about the worms now, because I'm thinking to myself, how long, because here's what I thought last night. I thought, you know, when you eat something that is not bad, usually, or when you eat something that is bad, you will feel in like 6 hours the effects of that. So when I woke up this morning and I didn't have an upset stomach or any problems at all, I thought, well, maybe I've made it through this, that everything was fine. How long would it take me to know if I had worms? What would be the signs?
I don't think we want to talk about this over the air. I don't know, but here's I won't say too much, but here's what I would say. They probably do have come a long way with, like, you know, regulating how farmers care for their pigs and stuff. I'm not going to say that's a complete thing of the past. And like I say, every piece of pork does not have the potential to give you the trichinosis, because the hog itself would have had to have had worms. You see what I'm saying?
Right. So you think by this point I would be feeling something in some way if it did have worms?
I think if you get a gut full of worms, Mother Nature will have a very distinct way of letting you know.
And
that's all I'm going to say.
Well, we're talking like 12, 13, 14.
You know, some people have been known to give themselves worms. I don't think, maybe it's not the same kind, but they give themselves worms on purpose to lose weight.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And if you don't get them out in enough time, they'll go, like, permeate through your blood vessels and then go to, like, your major organs and kill you.
Now, so this would be a weight loss thing because it gets rid of everything in your stomach?
A very extreme form of weight loss, / potentially deadly. But there has been people that have done it.
Boy,
have you ever watched that 1,000 Ways to Die?
You know what? Sean, who's on this program from time to time, that's one of his favorite shows.
I really like listening to him. He's so funny.
Well, I don't know. Better than me? I
Oh, I don't have a favorite.
No.
Well, yes, I do. It's Charlie. I can't lie.
No. Charlie's my favorite, too. But, it's 1,000 Ways to Die. See, I've never seen this show, and he keeps telling me about it.
Oh, it's great.
Is it? See, I would not think that'd be a fun show to watch.
Well, the whole, like, they mostly do things, like, they base a lot of their episodes on, like, people doing things that they shouldn't have. So it's kind of like, if you didn't do whatever it was that they do, it's kind of like silly, stupid stuff.
So it's kind of a preventative show.
It's not like, you know, here's Elmer and he had a heart attack and that's hilarious. No, it's people doing dumb stuff, trying to take stupid shortcuts or thinking they're smarter than they really are. And it's kind of like the people are, you know, to blame.
Like using an air fryer and eating undercooked pork.
I'm sure you're fine, Scott.
Hey, thanks.
And I can't believe how rude. Someone really called you an idiot.
Oh, yeah, in an email. It was this.
How rude.
This person seemed a little tense, and I assume they could be listening now, but
yeah.
They were...
Well, that only is what they're calling me right now. They're probably saying, I wish you'd get off that.
No. You know, I think they were already primed a little bit, though, because they did not like that. They didn't like me talking about the air fryer, and they did not like the conversation that Charlie and I had about poinsettia and poinsettia. They didn't like that either.
Well, hey, that's why there's more than one station on the radio, right?
That's right. Hey, thanks for calling.
Have a good show, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Toodles.
All right, we're rolling along. 740-383-9944. So I guess that could be what the issue is with undercooked pork. I knew there was something you could get, but okay, so it's not salmonella. That's a good thing, because that's deadly. But I guess the worms would be deadly, too. But I wonder, I think I would be showing signs of that by now, and I'm not showing any signs of that, so I think it might have been okay. But are there different levels of pork? See, I really don't know. I don't eat a whole lot of pork, to be honest with you. Go ahead, caller.
Here's a news flash. There were two trucks out on 23, and they were blown over by high winds. And there are poinsettias all over the street.
Oh,
all over
no.
The road, all over the whole county.
But you said it. You said it right. Poinsettia.
As far as you know.
As far as I know. Hey, thanks.
Hey, you know,
go ahead. Go ahead.
Pork is so lean these days that it doesn't take much to cook it. And, you know, the risks of infection are really, really low. You'd really have to, I mean, you could probably get by eating raw pork. You have to remember, all of the antibiotics that are put in to livestock these days. So the odds are in your favor, but you really have to watch the kind of pork and how you're doing it. And air fryers are they're pretty good with getting a nice crust and leaving the inside so that you can cut it so that you know you got pork done right when you can pull it apart and it isn't chewy.
Well, here's a quick question for you, because the sale was so great last night. It was like 8 of these pork chops. Now, I only ate 2 of them last night. I took the ones that I did not eat, and I put them in a plastic container, and I put them in the refrigerator. Now, how long are they going to be good for me to eat in that condition?
You put them in a container. What kind of a container?
It was just a plastic container with a lid
plastic
on it.
Plastic bag. Oh, a plastic... It's not a bag that you put them in.
No, it's a...
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the best things you can do is marinate it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? If you've got air in there and you don't take the air out, now you've got bacteria that's in the air. So you might get surprised. It could go quick. It could go slow. But if it smells when you open the container, dump it.
Dump it. Well, hey, think.
Yeah.
We're going...
The best thing to do is take that pork chop or whatever, put it in a plastic bag, and get all of the air out of it. Or get a marinade, put it in there, get all the air out of it, and it'll marinate, and you can keep it for probably close to a week. I wouldn't keep it much longer than that.
That's interesting. Well, hey, thanks for the tip.
Yep.
Hey, we're going to break here. News, weather, and a whole lot more. And by the way, bits of 529, bits of 423, Barks Road, Big Island, some of these areas are shut down because of the storm last night. Big Island, areas of Bucyrus without power. So Chateau has got some trees down, all kinds of stuff going on this morning. We're going to take a break here, but we're coming back in 10 minutes. Much more local, much more live. Don't you dare go anywhere.
Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage, crtmechanicals.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family / fire drill. FEMA, the Ag Council, and make